Good evening, everyone. I guess you all notice it's raining outside, which is a bit hard on the hairstyle. Nevertheless, they tell us we need the rain. So it's good to see you all here this evening, and if anyone's listening in the senior complex, we wish them all the best this evening time, and we hope that they will enjoy the talk. See a change of faces in our audience this evening. Our wandering brother Clover is back with us, and he's looking well, and we hope that he had an enjoyable vacation or holiday, whatever title he wants to give to it. Anyhow, so some of you were not here last week when we considered this subject of the man from Macedonia. And most of you know that this title is taken from the consideration of Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, when the Apostle Paul had his vision, and in the vision a man with no identity of name came to him and told him that he had to go into a different direction that he intended to go. So anyhow, after the talk, we did get quite a bit of feedback, mostly good, and it was good that that we received it in this way. And the feedback kind of lined up with the reaction that I got, as I mentioned last week, when I was discussing this subject with different people in different parts of the world in our travels. And I mentioned at that time that the reaction came in three sections. One was, who was this man from Macedonia? Some said it doesn't matter who it was. Some said it certainly was not Luke. And others said it had to be Luke. So I thought we'd do a bit of a survey this evening and after my talk of last week, just get some idea in what category you fell in. So I'd like you to raise your hands. You don't have to be afraid if you didn't agree with my comments last week. I just won't speak to you for a while, but nevertheless, we'll see how it goes. So the first one is, the reaction was, does it really matter who the man was? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. 8 or 9. Okay. The other one was, it certainly must have been Luke, the disciple. Hey, I've got two friends on my side. So that's good. There you go. And the other one was, it had to be Luke. Oh, I said that. Sorry. It certainly was not Luke. Should have been the second one. Okay, so we'll go again. It certainly was not Luke. Okay, 1, 2. Very good. So sometime I'd like to see the reason for that. The last one was it had to be Luke. Anybody want to put their hands up? It had to be Luke? No, okay. I'll put my hand up then. Okay, so that's interesting to see because it shows that you consider the subject and you came to your conclusion, and it really, as in a sense, it doesn't matter that way, because the only consideration, the reason for the consideration of this subject was not to try and show anybody how smart I was with a consideration, with a study of the Bible, but it was a question that had been bothering me for many times. And so this motivated me to dig a little deeper into this, because when you go into the Acts of the Apostles, this is starting me on this research, when you go into the Acts of the Apostles, most of you will be familiar with the phrase, we did this and we did that. And all of you here, if I asked you for a survey, you would agree with me that that was the we was Luke and somebody else. And there's no question about that. And so this is the reason I mention it, because this statement of we, instead of giving names, gives us a bit of a clue of the character of this man, the disciple of Jesus Christ, who was known as Luke. And so we can see that it set my thoughts in motion to find out who this man was, so that it would enable me to study the life of Luke and what influence he had upon the ecclesias and upon individuals. And this is the, we thank Matthew for his talk this evening and procrastinating, and I fit in very well with that talk, because I have that problem. And somebody asked me once, well, why do you, a few years ago, why do you take on so many jobs in the ecclesia? And I said, I gave the answer was that I'm a lazy student and I have to have something given to me in the way of a job to make me and force me to study the Bible. And in this way, I was able to become more familiar with the scriptures. Otherwise, I'm sure that I wouldn't have studied so much of the Word of God. And so this is the main message this evening, to let all of you know that we all have this power within us to influence individuals and ecclesias. Remember this. Doesn't matter what standing you are in an ecclesia, whether you're a speaker, a presiding brother, a sister or a brother, you have within your own self this power to influence people for good or for evil. We have to remember this in way of an exhortation, that it can be we can be very dangerous if we influence people for the wrong rather than the good. And so I'm sure that this is why with this disciple, as we talk later on regarding his life, he had a tremendous influence over ecclesias and the Apostle Paul and all other pillars of the ecclesia. And this is what I found out with this research, and this is why I enjoyed it so much, because I became, through the study, I became to know more about this man, Luke, than it first appears in the scriptures. I found out that this man played a greater part, as much as Paul and Peter and the others, but he was such a humble and a gentle person that he would rather be in the background rather than the forefront. He was such a lovely person, as Paul calls him, the beloved physician, that he would sooner give the credit and the attention to others rather than himself, which we will talk about a little later on. And so we've all been influenced by individuals. And I mention this because when I was in England training under a mechanic, I had a great respect for him and influenced by him, both of his, by the way he lived, and also the method of his work. And when we were rebuilding engines, Gordon and Fred will relate to me with this, when we were rebuilding engines or transmissions, he would check my work, and every now and again he would find that I hadn't given sufficient attention to torquing certain bolts and locking them and everything else. And so he pushed into my mind at that time, and it stayed with me all through the years of my occupation. He told me, double check, double check, double check, and double check. That is, I constantly heard him telling me that before you close an engine up, double check everything to make sure that you haven't left anything loose. And that was, to me, a great, because it saved me from many a disaster that an engine could have fallen to pieces because of the lack of attention to double-checking certain parts. And so it is, brothers and sisters, we have this influence over our children, over our brothers and sisters, and the neighbors around us, and we should be conscious of it. And so we know that God used this man, Luke the disciple, to influence Paul in many ways. And this is where he comes into, in my opinion, into this, God used him in this vision, that as we know that Paul intended to go into a certain area, he saw in it, through his own eyes, he saw that that particular area and district needed the preaching of the word of God. But God said no. It was another attention. Remember, the apostle Paul was the apostle unto the Gentile. So God said, you have to go in this direction. But Paul, as we discover from the study of his life, he was a very strong man, strong mentally. And he knew what he wanted to do, and he set his mind there, and that was his saving grace in many occasions when he was confronted to stand before some of the Roman leaders of the Roman Empire. And so God used Luke to influence Paul there. And when you go through the study of Luke's association with Paul, you'll find that he influenced Paul in other ways. Remember, he was the beloved physician. So when we go to the writings of the Apostle Paul, we can see how this man influenced the Apostle Paul. And so we remember, do we not, that in following the footsteps of Luke and others, that Luke remained in Macedonia for 5 years. And during that 5 years, he had a great influence upon the ecclesia because it prospered. And this man, gentleman, became known as a pillar and a patriarch of the ecclesia in that area. This man had such a great influence to the point that when the letter was written to the ecclesia of Corinth, the second letter, that Paul makes mention of him as being the praise of the ecclesias, or the commendation of the ecclesias. Paul picked him out and said that he should be recognized as a man who had devoted his life to the preaching of the gospel, helping people both physically as a doctor and spiritually as a father to the ecclesia. So turn with me to the 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and at verse 17. I may have mentioned this last week, but for the benefit of those who are not here on that occasion, I'd like to repeat it because I think it's important, because as we said, that doing this research on this man Luke, we find the strength and the power of this man to influence other people. And yet, on first reading, we hardly see Luke in the writings and of the Acts of the Apostles and Paul's letters. So if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and at verse 18, you read this. And this is Paul speaking with others. And we have sent with him, that is sent, Titus, he's talking about Titus, and we have sent with him Titus, the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, declaration of your ready mind. So most commentaries, and if you study the scriptures closely, most commentaries agree that this mention of this brother was Luke. And we have sent with him the brother, Luke, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now you say, well, why didn't Paul mention that it was Luke? Why cloak him in this the word, the brother, and why not come right out? Well, first of all, those who Paul was writing to, they would know who Paul was talking about. So there's no need to mention his name. They would know immediately because of the statement, his praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, that automatically they will say, that's the beloved physician, Luke. Now, the other thing to add to support of that is, as to why it says the brother, is because when you study the letters of the Apostle Paul, he didn't write them all by his own hand. He got other brethren to write them for him because of his eyesight, or maybe they had a better ability to put phrases together and the letter together. And that's beside the point. But when we discover that who wrote on Paul's behalf the letters to Corinth, it was Titus and Luke. So it's only natural that when Luke would be writing this letter, and the type of the man that he was, that being humble, he would not want to put his name in because he didn't want to give the attention to himself. He would rather give it to Titus and to the apostle. He puts in the brother. And so he cloaked this identity with the title of the brother in this way. I think you'll find that most, it's not something that I've just dreamed up. You'll find that most commentaries and most writers of the Apostle Paul and his travels will agree with this. And so it is recorded that that Luke helped the Apostle Paul in this way, beloved, in this way. And so Luke, as we know, was as Paul calls him, and the beloved physician, and he was sensitive to the feeling of others. And Luke recognized, remember, he was a physician, but a physician, as we have taught to some, I talk about the way some people recover from their illness, sometimes on a very difficult period of time they're going through, and they've commented that sometimes the faith of an individual does more than all the medicine that they can give to them. And they find out that these men or women of faith and the process of healing rather than from medicine, they are men and women of prayer. They are committed to seeking the authority on high, the Lord God, to help them through this difficult time, and can do this. And they have been influenced by the power of prayer. And Luke recognized that though he was restricted as a physician to give medicine, and it was more limited than it is today, and to help others, he recognized the power of prayer. And he had seen this himself as a witness in the Apostle Paul. We know the Apostle Paul went through many difficulties, and one of them was his health condition. And yet Paul seemed to mount up above all the restrictions of his health, and he was able to do many things. Follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, and he traveled for many miles under difficult conditions. Yet the Apostle Paul was there to preach at the appointed time and to defend the truth. So what I want you to do is to go to Acts chapter 20 and go with me there, because it's a very fascinating incident to record, because Luke is trying to show us the influence that we can have on others. We know that a brother, when he's speaking, if he gets help afterwards, that he can be encouraged to continue with his speaking or change his style or look into a further different way of approaching a certain subject. So when you go into the Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 and 21, Luke wants to bring out the fact of the influence that we have upon different people. In Acts chapter 20, we know that the Apostle Paul is on his journeys, and he has a desire to go to Jerusalem, if it's possible, to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. But before he goes there, he reaches Miletus, and there he intended to go to Ephesus. But it wasn't to be that he should go to Ephesus. So we know that he sent a message to the ecclesia in Ephesus and told them to send representatives, because he had an urgent message to tell them before he moved on. And then as we move through that chapter, we come to its conclusion. And this is what I want to draw your attention to here, to you all, is the influence that men and women of the ecclesia had upon this for Paul for good. He was traveling in this way under difficulties. He'd been confronted. He spent a lot of time with the brethren from Ephesus, and stayed up late at night to explain to them the difficulties and the hardships that they're going to be confronted with, that people will enter in, with false prophets will enter in like grievous wolves to devour the flock and so on. So here, this is the influence that others had upon the Apostle Paul. So if you go into verse 34. Yea, yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. So remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is where the influence comes in. This is the taking care of others. And he emphasizes the blessings of families working within the ecclesia and supporting and influencing others. So in verse 36 says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. So Luke gives the attention as to this sweet fellowship that can be ours. And this should not be an irritating thing for a brother to ask another brother to join with them in prayer over some difficulty. We don't do enough of that. We do a public prayer. We do our own individual prayers, but we don't do what I call the friendship prayer. Many years ago, we were having a number of talks with one of the pastors of the Seventh-day Adventists over the question of the Sabbath day. And we had very interesting talks for a number of weeks. And then we had some difficulty, and I phoned him up and said, we won't be able to do this next Tuesday, and we'll have to forego it for a little while. And he said, well, what's the problem? I said, well, we just have too much going, one thing or another. And he said, well, do you mind if I pray for you to get over this difficult time? And I thought, well, should a Seventh-day Adventist be praying for me? And then I thought, but he gave a beautiful prayer over the phone. I thought, and at that time I thought, well, there's never been in my lifetime a brother or sister come to me and says, Brother Matt, I know you're going through a difficult time. I'm praying for you tonight. I've never had that. You may have had it. I've been at fault for not doing it unto others. But here we see that Luke was conscious of the power of prayer to heal and the influence of prayer, combined prayer on others. And so it says, Luke says, he portrays the picture and said, when he had thus spoken, Paul kneeled down and prayed with them all. You can see the beautiful scene of the men and women and children kneeling down, holding hands together and united, and the force of that fellowship there would be able to help Paul to deal with anything. And their love for this man was so much, as we read in verse 37, and they all wept sore, and they fell on Paul's neck, and they kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. So then in chapter 21, we read that Paul is moving on in his journeys, and he gets into a different area, into Tyre, and there again he meets up with brothers and sisters, and in verse 5 we read, and when we had accomplished those days of discussion and sweet fellowship, we departed, that's Luke again with Paul, we departed and went our way, and they all, notice this, and all the ecclesia brought us on our way with their wives and their children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Now it's good that we have families that come to Bible class and Sunday evening lectures. And this is what Luke is trying to say, that these men and women were influenced in their children. Their children would see this fellowship that their mother and father enjoyed with these pillars of the ecclesia. So when we move on, we remember that Luke was with Paul during a major change in his life. There came a time in his life, the Apostle Paul, when he was fulfilling the command that was given to the apostles in Acts chapter 1, when it says, the gospel will be preached in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to all other parts of the world. In other words, Jesus has said, the gospel has to be preached to the then known world, which was Rome. And so Paul, as we know, confronted by the Jews who opposed him, and they wanted to have him taken to Jerusalem so that they could assassinate him on the way. It wasn't to be that way because God had a purpose for him. That we're told that in his conversation with the authorities, he said, enough is enough with the Jews. I appeal to Caesar. And they said, to Caesar you will go. So when we go into Acts chapter 27, there's an interesting thing there, brothers and sisters, because I'm making the appeal this evening that we need more communication with one another. We need more friendship, and we need more sweet fellowship. It was lacking in a way with Paul when he was on this journey, because the ecclesias discovered that Paul is going to Rome, and he's going to stand before Caesar. And they had little doubt about whether he would be spared of his life. They also thought to themselves, that is a difficult journey, and there's a question of, well, we're not able to go. The excuses come up. Well, we have to do this, we have to do that, I can't do this, I can't go with Paul, and so on. So if you read Acts chapter 27, you'll find there that, as it says in the scriptures, that Paul was bound up with the Spirit. And I think that's a beautiful phrase. Paul was bound up with the Spirit. He was bound up with the chains of a prisoner of Rome. But stronger than that, he confessed, he was bound up with the Spirit or the Spirit Word. And that's the way Paul was. He was so full of the Word of God, so engulfed in the Word of God, that nothing else could penetrate him in any way. And this is the way that he went on towards Rome. Chapter 27, and in verse 1 he says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augusta band, and we entered into the ship of Adramyttium. We launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, and Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica being with us." Now, what is strange about the record, or the recording of that event? Can you see anything that's a little bit not what we would expect? You look closely, and you see there, it says "we." So Paul, with many other political prisoners, were going to Rome to stand on trial before Caesar. It's recorded here, Luke records, "we." So there's Luke and there's Paul. Verse 2 says, "and there was Aristarchus." So there's only two brethren out of all the ecclesias recognized in the plight of Paul at this time who were willing to join him. And I think that's a exhortation to us, brothers and sisters, that we need this combined forces. We need the shoulder to shoulder. We need the walking together to be able to survive. Paul must have found it very difficult and disappointed, maybe, that only two of his brethren traveled with him. And maybe Luke at that time would remember the words of Jesus. You remember when Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, and that he says to the audience, he said, "If a man or a woman asks you to go for a mile, if you are doing my work, you will go 2 miles or more." And that's what Luke was doing. Luke had been asked by Paul to stay in Macedonia for the three years to preach. Paul had asked Luke to do other things. He'd asked him to go a mile, but Luke says, "No, I'll go with you another mile." And so he joined ranks, not knowing the future, because being associated with Paul, he also would be part of the trial, and maybe he would lose his life because of the association with him. And so we know that this would not be the easiest thing for Luke, because Paul was not always an easy man to travel or live with. You can read within the lines of his letters and the Acts of the Apostles that he was not always a pleasant man to go with. And so we have mentioned already that Luke and Silas helped Paul to write the letters to Corinth. And from that conversation, I believe, from that conversation, we can see a thread through the writings of the Apostle Paul, especially to the Corinth, that Luke had a very great influence on the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul, like you and I, are influenced by other people. Some of our brethren's exhortations are put together because of some influence that they ever had from an incident or association, or that the work that they've been involved with. And this was the same with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was influenced a lot by the things that went on around him. We know that the Apostle Paul, he was influenced by the physical education. In Macedonia and Greece and all those, they had these universities that they were more given over to sports in that particular way. And they had these large buildings that we've seen many of them in Greece and elsewhere. And this is, Paul would be influenced by the sports, the physical education. And we know that he made use of it, because when you go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you remember there that he speaks about the body, the makeup of the body, and so on. I'll quickly turn that one up to show you. This is the influence that others had upon the Apostle Paul. So in the 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, he says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize, so run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And he continues, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. And so we know also that he was influenced by the soldier. The Apostle Paul was very familiar with the Roman soldier, because we know that he was chained to them on that occasion. Sometimes he became a fellow companion with them because of the closeness and so on. And we know so that when he wrote some of his letters, he used the influence that he had upon the dedication of a man to his authorities, the Roman Empire. And he would see the armor of the man. He would see the dedication of it, the commitment there, and he used it in this way. And he made much do of this in the writing of Ephesians and so on. So what we can see, the reason I mentioned, what we can see in Luke's language is being woven into the First Corinthians. So I think that when they were traveling, that they would sit and converse with one another. And Paul would talk to Luke about his problems with his health and all that kind of stuff. And Luke would explain to him what his problems were, the makeup of the body and so on, in all this way. You can see how that Paul must have really listened to this and could see the physical side of what Luke was saying and develop into the spiritual side as a lesson and as a teaching. Let's go where we're in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and at verse 12 to 19. And we read it in this way. This is, I'm sure, the influence of Luke to Paul in framing his words of exhortation in this way. For he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, and so on. And then he continues on to describe the makeup of the body. He talks about the foot, and he talks about the ear, and he talks about the eye, and so on. And he talks about the essential, it's essential that each body of the ecclesia is a valuable part, each member of the ecclesia is a valuable part of the whole body, in that beautiful language that he uses. And it's Luke talking. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and so on. And then we remember that when he writes to Timothy, he uses medical terminology. And in the Old Testament, we have over 50 medical terms that are used by Luke in his writing that, and the Apostle Paul, that are not mentioned anywhere else. We have different languages, different words, medical terms that are used in that way. So when he wrote to Timothy, what did he say? He exhorts him to, as Brother Matthew said this evening, he exhorted him to study the word. But he's influenced by Luke, and he puts it in this way. He says, you, brethren and sisters, should endure sound doctrine. But what Luke would have written was the Greek, and he would say, you should endure healthy doctrines. And you can see the influence of the language from Luke to Paul in this way. And then when he writes to the ecclesia at Colossae, he talks about there are putting to death the things which will put into death the things which are a disease to the spiritual body. He said, because if you let them grow, they're going to destroy the body. So destroy, but he doesn't put it that. He uses the language of a doctor, the beloved doctor Luke. He says, mortify therefore your members. Put to death cut the cancer out, remove it, so it didn't destroy the whole body. And so the Luke, we have, you can go to many quotations like this if you follow through the writings of the Apostle Paul, and you can see time and time again the hand of Luke writing this letter and saying to Paul, well, Paul, maybe we should write it this way. It'll be a bit more powerful to the people, because the Greeks and the Romans were obsessed with their health in those days. Whilst they indulged with heavy eating and drinking, we know that the core of the Greeks and that were devoted to the places of physical education and so on. So Luke, like his master Jesus Christ, was very sensitive to many, many people. When you go into the Acts of the Apostles and to other parts of the writing of Paul, you'll find that Luke makes mention and concerned about the poor, the bereaved, and those in pain. There's another interesting thing before we sit down, and that is that I never noticed before that Luke was very sensitive to the plight of women. And we may have noticed that before, but we know that Paul deals with this issue about the relationship of a man to a woman, or the husband to his wife. And I'm sure the influence of Luke, because we remember that Luke had been in Macedonia and been in Greece and that. And as a Gentile, he saw that the men in Greece and Macedonia were very considerate, kind, and courteous to their wives, or to women in general. But then when he moves into the... My dear wife's looking at me now. I'm too careful. When he moved with the Apostle Paul and mingled with the Jewish element of the ecclesias and the Jews outside, he found that they were different. They were very hard on their wives and on women in general, the Jews, in the days of the Apostle Paul. It was a common prayer of a Jew to pray to God and say, I thank God that I'm not a woman. And this is the way they were. So the Luke seems committed that he has to appeal through the writings of the Apostle Paul to be more concerned and more interested in giving respect to the wives or to the women in general. And we know that when Paul wrote to the ecclesia at Ephesus, that he makes a great deal about this particular thing. In Ephesians chapter 5, you remember there that he speaks about the relationship, the influence that the husband can have on the wife and the wife can have on the husband. And so we remember that he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. And we, brethren, know how much we love ourselves. And Paul is saying, well, that should be emphasized and to your the husband, to his wife, the brother, to his sister, wife, and so on. So we seem that the time has almost come to an end, and we wanted to go into the Gospel of Luke and bring out a few lessons there. But we'll conclude there, because maybe we can, I've said sufficient tonight on that subject. But if you go into the Gospel of Luke, you'll see there how that Luke gives great consideration in his narration of the life of Jesus to women. Right in the opening of the letter, his gospel, he goes directly to the lives of Elizabeth and Mary. And he's very sensitive to their situation there. And he dwells upon it, how that Elizabeth and Mary had this influence upon each other for good, to remain faithful to the things that are happening around them. And so, brothers and sisters, it may be difficult, as some of you have shown this evening, it may be difficult for you in the studies that we've had this evening, to recognize Luke as the man from Macedonia. It's still questionable. But it won't be a question when Jesus returns and he sees Luke, who he is. Jesus will recognize him as a faithful disciple. And so we have to study our Bibles. We have to try and influence each other and expect others to influence us. So that when we see Jesus, he will recognize us, that we have been a little bit like Luke.